guys, welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internets. This is for December the 17th, 2019, where we're having a special evening talking about our top five games of 2019 that Game Chat has played, and then also revealing the top five Game Chat games of 2019 that were voted on. So we'll have that going this evening, which is exciting to finish off our year as Game Chat. As usual, we will have intros so you guys listening will know who you're listening to, and as well as an intro question. This week is remembering back to the earliest games you've played, what was the worst and what was the best? And again, just for clarification, this isn't just for Game Chat games. This is like going back into your history, guys. So, yeah. All right, so starting at the top.
All right, this is Franco. For worst, I'm going to, I'm not sure if this will count, so I have a backup. Mm-hmm. But because I was horrible at it, the handheld Coleco football.
Of course it counts.
Okay. That was like, I just was horrible at it, but everybody had to have one when you were a kid.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I remember those. I mean, mine was like more of a, you know, like a hand-me-down probably, but like, yeah.
Yeah. That was,
what was your favorite?
Early on, I'm going to tell you one of the first PC games that I got to use and actually liked because of its humor and its unique view of games and stuff and the classic RPGs, but sort of like that kind of genre. Don't laugh. The Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh my gosh, Frank. My brother loved those games.
It was just the first game that like kind of like broke the fourth wall at times.
Yeah.
For me, at least, you know. So, I like that. I enjoyed that.
I was not allowed to play that game.
I don't think I'm still allowed to play that game.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. And next.
Hello, this is Jonathan. Mm-hmm. See, I'm trying to think back because, you know, in my early days of youth, you know, my brain didn't categorize what was bad. I was just like, games. But so I'm trying to think of some of the earliest games I played that, like, yes. Now I'm like, eh.
Well, there has to be a game that, like, you just didn't like, you know, that you were just like, eh, no, I don't want to play that. Like,
okay.
You played some of it and you were like, oh, no.
The game that's jumping out of my head is a Super Nintendo game called, I think it's called Snakes. I think I still have it on my bookshelf. But it's basically just Tetris, but instead of the Tetris blocks, they're snakes. And
oh,
like that's all it is. And like on the cover there's a picture of a guy and it's like this guy somehow was involved with the creation of Tetris and he made this game next, like it was gonna replace Tetris. And it's like, I remember we had Tetris on our computer and it was just like, let's just play Tetris. Why? Because like, because it was like one of the, it was like basically Tetris, but because they were snakes, like they would like crawl around and slither around after you placed them. It was weird. But it's like, I was like, out of all the games we had, that was not the one I'd ever want to play. I'd rather play Dino City than Snakes.
Favorite?
This is a favorite of the earliest games?
Yeah.
Okay. So I gotta go with Super Noah's Ark 3D.
Wow, man. Okay.
Because I had no idea. I had never heard of Doom or Wolfenstein. You know, my parents wouldn't allow that. But then I remember my dad came home and it was on like a hard disk, you know, and he installed it on the computer. And I remember, you know, me and my sister playing it, and like we were like mapping out, and we were like, oh man, this is intense for a Noah's Ark game. And it's like, and it's like just the fact now, knowing the history of it, that it was a bootleg game that they actually got the source code from what's his name? Romero, the creators of Doom and Wolfenstein. They got the source code from them, even though they're, you know, they're atheists. They don't care, but they gave them the code just because they loved the idea that they wanted to make a Christian game that was going to be bootleg because Nintendo wouldn't have allowed it.
Wow.
So I just remember playing it like crazy. And I remember always trying to find the elephant. And I never found the elephant. Because that was like one of the big bosses at the end. It was the elephant. You had to put the elephant to sleep.
Why?
That's how that game worked. Instead of shooting guns and killing things, you shot fruit from a slingshot at animals to put them to sleep. And like little Z's would pop out of their head. And like the goats and llamas would spit at you. That's how they do damage. It was the best.
I can't. I really can't.
Get it on Steam.
Yeah, I bought it. I bought it on Steam. I should stream it.
Oh my god. Okay.
Game chat game.
That's great. That's great. Thank you, Jonathan. Next.
Hi, this is Kevin. Let's see here. Worst game? Have to be Lion King on the Super Nintendo. Because I could never, until much, much later on, get past that stupid giraffe in the second stupid Can't Wait to Be King level.
Yeah, that was a rough level.
No, I did.
That is, like, you're like, oh man, I'm having a fun time playing the first level. Second level? Nope. You're not going to play this game. You're not going to beat it. You're just going to play the first level, and you're going to have to use cheat codes to play any other level.
And it only gets worse from there. Like, I mean, not worse. I love the game. But I mean, like, as far as, just rando difficulty, it gets worse from there. Because, like, the following levels is, like, the Stampede, which is, like, and you can memorize it. But still, there are some times where it's just impossible to, like, get around those freaking the Stampede coming towards you. And then the level after that is that stupid level where Simba's an adult and he has to, like, you have to, like, go in these different doors in the cave, and it goes to other doors, and you have to, like, jump on the hyenas just right or you die. Yeah.
Wow. That's,
I didn't even know you could be adult Simba in that game.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was pretty obsessed with that game, but yeah, it was difficult.
Yeah. And, favorite? Would have to be either Link's Awakening for Game Boy, or if I wanted to keep it console, I really liked Aladdin on the Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
That
one was actually doable.
It was. It definitely was.
Hi.
Awesome. Next.
This is Chris. So I would have to say my worst, for my earliest memories on the NES, would have to be Ghostbusters. Because one, you had the mechanic of managing your gas to get to the place you needed to go, and who would have thunk that, you know, you needed to go fast before you ran out of gas rather than, like, actually maintaining a decent speed.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think the other problem, too, was, like, you ran out of stamina going up the steps or something like that.
Oh.
So it's like I never really got a chance to even catch any ghosts.
Sounds hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was just, that was just, you know, I kept renting the game, but could never really get anywhere.
Yeah.
But the absolute worst game, in my earlier memories, was a game called Rhea Face the Unknown, which was a PC game that was sort of kind of like Myst, that mixed full motion video live actors in with you know, CG backgrounds and stuff like that, where you had puzzles similar to Myst. The only problem was the puzzles were so far beyond any complexity that Myst had, and the ending was just so absolutely horrendous and infuriating that as soon as I was done with it, I immediately uninstalled it from my computer, put the disc back in the box, and put the box in the trash. Because it was just that horrible of a game to me. So
wow, that's something.
Yeah. That, like, I just did not want it around anymore, and had to get it out of the house because it was that horrible. For the good games, again, for my, like, childhood, I would probably say the Super Mario RPG, even though I was never able to actually finish the game. But it was one of the really more enjoyable times I've had playing a game. In that time period. But I mean, if you've been listening to Game Chat for any period of time, you'll all know that Grim Fandango is my all-time favorite game. So
yes.
And I won't go any further into it because we did talk about it on Game Chat back in, looks like August of 2016. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
So
longer ago than when I thought.
Okay. Let's go back to the gamechat.net and have a listen there. So
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. This is Steph. Probably we rented so many games when I was younger for the Nintendo. Oh, and other systems too, but like mostly that's my earliest memories. And on our like old computer, but probably the one that pops into my mind that I absolutely just like, I remember us renting it once and we played it for like maybe like tried to play it for like 2 or 3 hours. And we couldn't get past, like, the first level or the first screen or whatever it's called. But it's Marble Madness. That game was a lot. me and my brother were both trying it. And my brother's, like, 8 years older than me. And, like, we both still could not, like... It was just too much for us. That's like the one game that I was like, yeah, no, this is quite enough. I also remember like a really weird like clown circus game on the Atari that my parents had that really kind of like scared me, but I don't remember the name of it. I don't remember too much other than it just had a clown in it. And I was like, this is so weird. Favorite game from childhood. If I'm going back to like our home computer, when I was like in kindergarten, I loved playing Chippendale Rescue Rangers. Like it was an adventure game. You know, just like a side scroller level, game. And that was always fun. I loved playing that and I never beat it because I just couldn't. I wasn't like, you know, I didn't speak platformer language yet, quite yet. Or I also really liked on the Nintendo, I loved a game called, it was Tiny Toon Adventures. I don't know the full name, but it was an animation game. And so you could build like animations using the characters in Tiny Toons, and you could build animations. You could like set the scene. You could tell them what to do. You could have the characters like, you know, enter in and enter out of the scene. You could have them do like a list of actions and then just play it out like you set it up. And I found that game endlessly fascinating.
That sounds awesome.
I loved it so much. Yeah. Yeah, so there we go. Thanks, you know, for those little insights into your gaming past, guys. And we'll get started into the chat. For that, I'm going to hand it over to Chris since he kind of, you know, took over the whole, like, top five thing, which is awesome. So, yeah, it's your baby now, Chris.
All right, so, yeah, I guess what we'll do is kind of go down the list as to kind of go from five to one. Everyone gets a chance to say what their fifth game is, fourth game, or, well, we'll do the fifth game first, then we'll move on to the fourth, and so on. And then in between each one, I'll say what the overall game was that everyone had, I guess, voted on collectively through all of the votes there. So perfect. I didn't really think of anything, any particular order. So I don't know if we just want to go from Franco down or
Franco down. Frank's used to it. Frank, go.
Okay. I'm down for it.
So right. Number five, right?
My number yes. five?
Yes.
My number five was Ken Follett's Pillars of the Earth.
Yes.
And that was a tough, you know. It was a, yeah. Love that game. Love this, you know. Managed to take a great book series and stay true to it while giving you you know, some branching decisions and choices to make. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Jonathan?
Oh, my turn. Okay, my number five was, quite honestly, a game that took me by surprise. Because I would have never in a thousand years thought I'd play it. But Steph and Madeline forced me to. And I'm very glad that they did. Because it unexpectedly turned into one of my favorite games. But Layers of Fear 2. Nice. I didn't want to play it. And then I played it. And then I went full on into it. And I wrote five pages of notes trying to figure out the lore. You know, it's like I don't think I've ever done that before for a game, but I had fun. So that's my number five.
Nice, Kevin. That's your
cue. Oh yes, my number. It's number five, right?
Yes.
Yes.
My number five is Ken Follett's The Pillars of the Earth.
Awesome.
Nice.
Hey, Chris.
My number five was actually a game that we played last year. And it was so when just a little backstory here, when we had put the poll out for last year's mega top five, since we hadn't done ones from 2016 to 2018. I put it out and we still had what was it, 2064 read-only memories? Is that right? There was that and Forgotten, and that by the time the poll had closed, we still had yet to play the two games. So I had included those two in this poll just because no one really got a chance to play them. So for me, I threw Forgotten in as my number five for this. Just because I feel like out of everything, this was just a... It had a lot of issues with like a lot of anime tropes and everything, but it felt a lot like you were playing like a Ghibli movie or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just felt like it deserved a spot on my top five for this year. So
yeah. Awesome. For my number five, I actually went with Layers of Fear 2 as well. This was very, like, this one was the one that I chose, and I think I did this with one last year too, is I mainly chose this one because we had, because of the chat that we had, like, the actual game chat, because I went into the chat kind of being like, oh, like, yeah, this was a fun game, like, you know, because I loved Layers of Fear, one, and I went to it and I was like, yeah, this was a fun game, but then, like, as we were chatting, and, like, for those listening, if you have not heard our chat about Layers of Fear 2, you should totally check it out on our website, thegamechat.net, but it was while we were chatting that, like, we started, like, kind of going over this theory, like we kind of like came to this theory of like that at least I came out of it believing that it seems like to me that the game is about trans, like someone, you know, like a man being a woman, or you know, that's what. And I didn't start, and there's that woman in the chat that we had about Layers of Fear 2 where, like, I think, Jonathan, were you the one that kind of pointed it out?
Yeah, because that was one of the theories, because I was, like, looking at all the movie posters and, like, freeze framing and taking screenshots of the cutscenes, you know, looking to, like, wait, the sister doesn't have a mole on her face.
Yeah.
But the actress and all the posters have a mole on her, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And because of the one of the endings that you get, it kind of seems that way. And, you know, if it's just there are a lot of things, like, I don't want to give too much away because it gives away a crucial moment in towards the end of the game. But yeah, I chose this one for number five. I mean, it is a really good game. It probably wasn't like one of my top games that I played all year, but it was because of the chat and just that moment, and that moment completely transformed my perspective of the game to the point where I was like, I want to play this again. Like, you know, and I still want to play it again. Yeah, exactly. To pick up on everything. And somebody, yeah. So that's a big reason why I chose that for my top five. I'm also going to read Madeline's numbers as well, her top five, as we go along. She was really wanting to make it tonight, but and for those listening, she's on a lot of our chats, but unfortunately she could not. So but she sent her, but she sent us her thoughts on the ones that she chose. For number five, she chose Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, saying that it was beautiful and horrific. The game did an amazing job of using mental illness to help heighten the horror in a game without making it a horror game where mental illness is the boogeyman. Senua's experience is still terrifying, but it's done in a way that doesn't demonize her suffering or anyone else's. There you go.
Okay, so now with the overalls, what I decided to do this year as opposed to last year Whereas last year there were clear 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1 spots as to what game goes in where. Here it was like kind of hard to tell. Like there was no clear winner for the fifth, the fourth, the third, and everything like that. So what I did this year was just basically tallied up the overall amount of votes each game got, and then assigned that to the spot.
Okay.
I will tell you that there is a tie for second and a tie for fourth. And we have no clear pick for fifth. So,
you're losers.
Yeah.
No, we're all winners.
So there is no fifth, top five overall game for 2019.
It's so interesting.
All of Game Chat is number five.
All the rest of the games were number five.
Yes, all of the games.
But I mean, I just like we played a lot of good games this year.
Yes.
Like this was an action-packed year.
It was. It would definitely really was. You know, next year, who knows?
Yes.
It's all downhill from here.
Yeah.
This was our glory year.
So moving on to number four.
Oh, that's me. Okay. I was actually working on something I had a thought. But anyway, my number four is Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I've actually, that was the second time I played it. I like that game so much. For the graphics, the story, the music, it was just, I really enjoyed the heck out of it. The thought-provoking, you know, aspects of the story. What would you do in the same, similar situation kind of thing? And how the story unfolds with all the players interacting. So,
yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. So that's my number four.
Awesome.
Oh, it's my turn. picking my top five was really hard this year. Mm-hmm. Like, as I just said, we played a lot of good games.
Yeah.
But my number four was Pyre.
Oh, nice.
I really loved the world of Pyre, just that whole concept of like this, there's just this alternate like realm that people are cast down into instead of thrown into prison. They're just, and it's like, you can, like, it's almost like weird, like mystical medieval, like Mad Max kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
where it's like once a year, with the stars line, you play sports ball to win your way out.
It's so, you know, good.
But at the same time, it's like a deeply religious game. Mm-hmm. You know, even though it's about basically sport, and just the interactions between all the characters, and just how like the choices you get at the end of each like tournament, mm-hmm. like who you set free, because it's like, you have the ones you want to set free character-wise, but then it's also like, but they're the best player on the team.
Yeah.
And the art style, it was beautiful. And the music was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a blast playing that game. But yeah, Pyre's my number four.
Ooh.
Me now. The like the choices between if like the other, like basically I could only easily play one game, and then like the other ones are just kind of like games I liked and kind of where to put them in the list.
So my number four is Donut Count.
Oh, cool.
It was just such a fun, cute little game.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of wish there was a little bit. It was one of those games where you kind of want to play more of it when there isn't more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good game with a good message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very addicting. Chris?
So my number four was Inside.
Nice.
I really liked the overall atmosphere of the game. The puzzles weren't too challenging, or frustrating, I should say. You know, only needed a guide every once in a while. So it's dogs. Mean dogs. And then, I think the best part was when you were that flesh ball and started like rolling over people and everything. So, but yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. It reminded me a lot of I guess kind of like maybe of like a rated R version of Unraveled. If anyone's ever played that game.
Yes. Yeah. So, I can see that.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, if you're into puzzles and like side scrollers and stuff like that, it was a lot of fun. I just wish I would have been able to have played the whole game in time to have been able to like talk about it with the group.
Mm-hmm.
Although I can't remember what held me back in playing it. Maybe it was LTN Con just, or something. Or
yeah, I think it was just time. Yeah. I think it was like work or yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that was my number four.
Cool. All right. My number four is Detroit Become Human. I just really loved this game. I loved the choices. I love that there were so many choices. And then plus, you know, the characters, you know, were mostly interesting. I mean, there was one that I was like, this one's okay. Like, as the story progressed, but you know, two of them, I was really into their story. I was really into Connor's story. And again, I just loved how branching the story could be. Like there were a lot of possibilities with that one. And just beautiful graphics and just really engaging. Like I just remember playing that game and I was on the edge of my seat. I was literally on the verge of an anxiety attack throughout the entire playthrough because I was wanting everyone to survive because, you know, that some of the main characters could die. Or horrible things happen to them. And I was like, I want everyone to be safe and happy, you know, or at least alive. And yeah, I was on the verge of an anxiety attack through that entire game. But that also kind of made it exciting and fun for me. And just there were a lot, you know, there were quite a few good messages in that game too. That I think that they covered not really, you know, they didn't go in depth with them, but like, you know, like slavery and that sort of thing, but they did cover them, I think, just enough for you to get that nuance. And that's pretty cool. It provided really good conversation too. Like we had a great chat. I think it was just like me, Frank, and Jonathan.
I was there too.
Oh, and Chris. And, sorry, Chris. And, I remember it was just a handful of us, but yeah, really enjoyed it. A plus. And then I looked it up. I don't think anyone, but like I was just going to read like what we gave it, but we did. But as I said, it was only a few of us, but we did get that game a 10 in game chat. So I looked up scorecards for the ones that I picked. Anyways, okay. Oh, Madeline's. Madeline's number 4 is Ken Follett's The Pillars of the Earth. She says, this was my favorite branching narrative game we played this year. Decisions felt important and like they mattered. And talking to everyone afterwards shows just how much work went into making that happen. So, yeah.
All right. So, the overall top fourth game for game chat was a tie. and that is Layers of Fear 2 and Donut County.
Nice.
So, yes.
Interesting.
What a variety. Like what, like that kind of covers the scales. Yeah, the spectrum.
Yeah.
You think of the crossover between those two games.
Whoa.
That'd be a great game. It's like a horror game, but it's run by raccoons. That'd be great. I'm making that game. Copyright it.
One of them's wearing game a dress.
Game Chat LLC. Game Chat Games.
Yeah. All right. So number three game. And Frank.
Yes.
Start us off.
My number three game was the Musicality Speciality Wander Song.
I was like, we didn't play a game called Musicality Speciality.
I was just
Frank goes thinking of his other game chat.
Freewheeling there. It just, you know.
It was lovely.
It was lovely. Really enjoyed it. A touching story at the end and fun with the music and how that interacted and things to find and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Thank you. Next.
My number three was Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice.
Nice.
That game, I remember when it came out because it was one of those like sleeper hits that just came out of nowhere that everyone was talking about, and it just how it kind of loved how it you know kind of you know bit its thumb if you will to AAA studios you know that are like, well, AAA games only cost billions and billions of dollars because that's how they look so good and everything. And it's like, here's this, you know, smaller studio that's just like, mic drop, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice. That's like one of the best looking games of the generation.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's such a great, like almost haunting game. And
yeah,
the way they did the audio, the binaural audio, you know, and it's like I hate that, and it like makes my skin crawl, makes me cringe, but at the same time, like, that's what it's meant to do. And it just it was just such a roller coaster of a game. And also I just you know, I'm a video editor by profession, and just knowing that the actress who plays Senua was the team's video editor, and they just had her be a stand-in while they camera tested it, and then they were just like, you know what, you're Senua. They're like, no, you're Senua. And then she won, you know, best actor at the Game Awards that year.
Yeah.
And now that there's, if you saw the Game Awards this year, there's Hellblade 2 coming out.
Ah!
And that And that trailer is just like metal and like hardcore. It's just like, whoa, oh,
man.
But yeah, so that was my, what are we on? Number three? Is that?
Yeah.
That was my number three. That was my number three.
Awesome. Thank you. Kevin?
My number three was Event Zero, which was a lukewarm game for all of us, for the group. But I just really liked the ideas of the world, even if it wasn't the best executed. Mm-hmm. It just was a much more interesting or was a pretty interesting game to me, and I liked the ideas, gameplay and music stuff of it.
Yeah. Awesome, thank you. Chris?
My number three was also Wander Song. I don't know. I just really liked the story, the characters. The gameplay was fun. While the controls were somewhat annoying at times to try and get the right notes, where I wish the little wheel, tone wheel, or whatever you want to call that thing, was, worked on a little better. I guess it played better on PC than on the Switch or something, but yeah, it's that was really kind of the only issue that I had, but again, to play like the non-hero in a game was an interesting take. And yeah, it was just a nice story. And yeah, that's my pick.
Cool. For my number three is Ken Follett's The Pillars of the Earth. This game really took me by surprise, I have to say. The art style is beautiful. It's very kind of like animation inspired, very illustrative, and I really liked the character designs going into it, but I was kind of like, oh, okay, it's a point and click. I've had the book, The Pillars of the Earth, for a while, and I've never, like, for years, and I still haven't read it. And I was like, this might be a bit of a sleeper, honestly, I wasn't expecting much, but it surprised me in that, I was like, constantly interested in what was going to happen next. The characters were engaging. The story was engaging. They did a great job. As that I haven't read the book, but they did a great job in what I would imagine bringing that book to the game without making it. Because I'm sure that they had to rework a ton of stuff, I'm sure, to make it interesting, in a narrative game. But they did a great job of that. And It was just engaging all around. It's constantly interested. So I went into it kind of questioning, but it came out absolutely loving the game. And if I know anyone that hasn't played it that likes narrative games, I always am like, hey, you should play this one because it's really good. And the voice acting was really good too. It's just so several things. Music, yeah. And Madeline's number three is Speed Dating for Ghosts. She says, this game highlights the wonderful and weird aspects of people you might not give a second look at if you were at a speed dating session. It's the writing and chill soundtrack that makes the game an indie gem. I'd love to keep dating. And also, she notes that there is an expansion that's out for that game as well. That was just released, I think, latter part of this year in 2018. So, all right.
All right. the overall top three is Detroit Become Human.
Ooh. Mm. So cool. Thank you.
Now moving on to the top two, going back to Frank.
All right, number two on my list would be Hellblade: Senua. Mental challenges ahead. Like, enjoyed it, and that's why it's ranked number two.
Cool. Thank you. Next.
My number two is Ken Follett's Pillars of the Earth.
Wow.
Yeah, I really love this game, just for all the same reasons, you know, everyone's already said about this game. I bought the book on Audible after we played it. I have not listened to it yet, because unlike the game, the book is like 50 hours. But I really like the story, the way it, you know, was presented, the art style, the voice acting. You know, generally I tend to get frustrated with point and click games, but this, I don't know, something about this point and click game, it was like refined and it made sense. And they're like, if you picked up an item, you knew what it did, you know? So like, it made sense. And just how, for it being, you know, such a, you know, beloved book, and then finding out that it was also like a HBO or like Showtime series, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, knowing how they like made a compelling game with choices and stuff, but still keep the core game and story. So, Basic was like just like really good. Like, I just remember one of my favorite things was a moment in the chat. The entire time, like the week leading up to that chat, I kept making jokes about Sir Catface, and all of you were like, Jonathan. And it, like, it wasn't until chat, I kept making jokes about Sir Catface, and none of you responded until, like, I think it was like Kevin or somebody was just like, who's Sir Catface? And I'm like, Sir Catface, you know, her main knight. And it was like, what? And it's like, it's just because I forget his name, but the brother, the prince, it's like, he died in my playthrough. And I thought that was a scripted thing, but he was all living in yours.
Yep.
And so when he dies, he's just replaced with this knight from the background who talks about his gray, how his crap's gray, and now he's in charge, and his name is Sir Catface. And I just remember, like, what? Like, how I was thinking, like, oh man, there's no, all the choices are fake in this game, because they're telling the story from a book, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, they were still able to tell the same story while allowing player choice and, like, consequences to your actions, you know?
Yeah.
And that just, that took me from, like, really liking this game to just, like, oh, this is a special game.
All because of Sir Catface.
All because of Sir Catface.
I almost forgot about that.
I will never forget Sir Catface.
All right, Kevin? Kevin, are you there?
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your number two.
Okay. My number two was Paper Bark. Or Paper.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It was Paper Bark. I think it was Paper Bank on like all of our schedules.
Oh, yes.
The game is Paper Bark. Yeah.
Yes. The game about paper banks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, the game about Wombat. Even though it was like graphically a little bit wonky, but I think that was mainly because of the fact that it originally was an iPad game. It was just a cute, fun little game. That was also informative about how wildfires stuff work in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Wombats. Who doesn't love Wombats?
So cute.
It's a game I was waiting for a while to come out. And then it was on like iPad the longest time. And I'm like, where's the PC port? Because it was supposed to be on PC. And then we finally actually ended up playing it in Game Champ. So.
One of the few games that we played that, like, I wouldn't mind, like, sitting a kid down to play.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Next, Chris.
Yeah. My number two game is Donut County. Nice. Yeah. It's just, I don't know, the whole thing of sitting around a campfire yelling at a raccoon. you know, just kind of... the game, the writing in the game is just amazing, and really helps bring it along. And it's just it's so addicting. And like Kevin had said before, like you want to keep going, and you wish there was more. But you're also satisfied with what you did get. So it's yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
My second game.
Mine is Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. Because of what everyone has said already, who has had it in their list so far. I just really liked that game. It was just so emotional, and it was so well, you know, and I just really respect the people who made it because they really tried hard and did a lot of research in the mental health community and, you know, with people who had, psychosis on trying to get this right. And I think they did a pretty darn good job for a video game. You know, and with the binaural sound, just added to that and just added to, you know, the creep factor for the player, but also put you kind of in Senua's headspace. The visuals were just gorgeous. The challenge was, you know, just enough to where the battles, you know, the fighting and stuff was challenging, but not like I want to like quit challenging. And yeah, it was just a nice, you know, as nice as a game about, you know, someone with psychosis looking for her, you know, it, yeah. And I just love the Nordic, you know, inspiration. I just really like, and I'm so psyched for Senua's Saga. I cannot even, which is Hellblade 2 for those listening. Just announced at the Game Awards this year.
Just saw the trailer for that.
I'm just really excited. I really love this game. And again, like, it's so cool that like the video editor was, you know, just because she stepped in one day, they were like, oh, and she does an amazing job. Like, you would think that she was like a trained actress, but no. But she is someone who also, I believe the video said, suffers with with some psychosis. So I think that kind of added to it, of her being able to portray that so keenly. Yeah, I could go on about this game for a long time. But, you know, it's dark and it's dark and it's not like a hope-filled game, but like it's just done so well. And I think it does, as John was saying, it does such a good job at just portraying and Madeline mentioned it in her in her summary of it too, that does such a good job of just portraying that. What did she say? She says let's see. Oh yeah, that her Senua's experience is still terrifying, but it's done in a way that doesn't demonize her suffering or anyone else's. So Madeline said it for me. Madeline's number two is Wonder Song. She says, So what if you're not the hero? You're important, and what you do matters to the people around you. I love Wonder Song for tackling the vague existential dread that seems to plague us today. There you go.
So the overall number two was a tie with Hellblade and Wonder Song.
We're doing so well with like two just divergent. Like covering like the two ends of the spectrum on these ties.
It's beautiful.
The games did have to do a lot with very with mental health stuff.
Actually, that's
in
true.
Various different just in very different aspects.
That's a very good point, Kevin.
That's true. What does it say about our mental health?
That's great. That's great.
All right, so moving on with our top number one spot.
Bum, ba-da-dum, bum, bum, bum.
Turning back to Franco.
My number one game for that we played has to be Night Traps. No.
You already played it without us, Frank?
Yep,
how dare you?
It just far suppressed everything we've ever played. It's all time number one. Detroit Becoming Human.
Nice.
Story, branching, just questions, everything you think. Some really incredible moments. And the first game that sort of actually lets you see where your branches of decisions led you to. So that was fairly interesting, but not just for that. That's not what tipped it over. Just the overall game with the story and the multitude of things that could happen in the game based on what actions you took. So that's why it's my number one.
Awesome.
Okay. My number one was a special game chat we did of a game I had played before, and I had played again, and I will play it again. It Dragon Age Origins. I loved it when I first played it, and then when I playing it again for game chat, like. It hit me while we were talking about it, and then, like, you know, playing through the DLC for the first time and everything. It was just like, this is one of my top 10 games, like, of all time. And I just love it so much, and just how, you know, depending on just what your race was. Not even your race, but like just there's like the beginning, the first act of the game could be completely different, you know, depending on what you did or what your character was, or and I just you know, it does show its age in some places, but it's just to me it just holds up so well, and the story is compelling. The character, I love all the characters. Just There's one-liners, and it's like I hate that I played this game so much like later after the fact, because it's like all I want to do is like talk about it, but you know, everyone's like, oh, you mean Dragon Age Inquisition? I'm like, no, Origins.
We're still
Origins, the first one. but yeah, so that was my number one.
Awesome. Kevin?
The number one game?
Yes.
Would have to be Lamplight City.
Nice!
I watched Grindislav, Francisco Gonzalez, who made the game. I watched him making different art and stuff for it, and I played the essentially demo and stuff when it and it's a game I was wanting to play for a while. Game chat gave me an excuse to go and play.
Nice.
And I really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to the next game that he's
Have they announced what that's called yet?
The next game is Rosewater. It's a West. It's a non-comedic Western adventure game, because most point-and-click adventure games are that are Westerns are end up being comedy for some reason.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. My number one game is Detroit Become Human. So when I got the game, I think I talked about this. I played the first chapters of each of the three characters and then stopped playing because I knew we were going to be playing the game with Game Chat. And then ended up spending the entirety of a Sunday finishing the game. which I think was around 12 hours or so.
Yeah.
Just like straight through without even stopping. Nice. And it's just, I think it was just David Cage's best game to date at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's really not much more to say that wasn't said already in our chat when mm-hmm. we did discuss it. It's yeah. I mean it was an experience. That's all I'll yeah. say. This yeah. point, so yeah.
My number one is Wonder Song, because of what most of everyone has said. But I played Wonder Song before I played it in Game Chat and just absolutely fell in love with it. I think I played it in the space of it's not a hugely long game, I think it's like 16 hours, but I think I played it in the space of like 2 days. But yeah, just the game covers, as Kevin was saying earlier, it covers mental illness, it covers depression, it covers, identity crisis, it covers several things that are pretty huge, but it does it in a way to where it's not the main focus of the game. And it's not, and they do it in a way that's very subtle but yet very, kind of raw and truthful at the same time. And that's mostly through dialogue. It was such a fun game. And, I love the whole, singing mechanic, for the bard. The characters you come across are really interesting, and it's a really you would kind of look at it and it's a very simple, the graphics are very simple. And when I found out it was 16 hours long, but when I first started playing it, I was like, oof, that's a lot, because I got to this point and I was like, okay, well maybe this is a 5 or 6 hour game. And then I saw that it I was like, what could they possibly feel this, what could they possibly have as content, but again, it gets a little deep in the subject matter, but then it brings it back up, but then the bard faces something else, and they have a nice story arc to the game, even for as long as it is. It's one of the few games that I have really nothing bad to say about. Absolutely nothing. Madeline's top number one pick is Dear Esther. She says, I loved stumbling through the landscape of a man grieving his wife. Telling a story the way Astor does trusts the player to pay attention and catch the nuances, but also trusts them with forming their own interpretation. This game brought me back to gaming as an adult, and I'm so glad we got to play it in game chat. Madeline was a huge fan of Dear Astor before we played it in game chat. So, yeah.
So.
Yes.
The number one game played in 2019 should come as no surprise. That is Siberia.
Well done, no. Sir.
Get out.
No, it's Ken Follett's Pillars of the Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
That's exciting.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, that had a total of 5 votes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
If it was a top 10, I probably would have ended up
having the list.
Song and Hellblade in my list, but it was top 5. So.
Yeah, I figured we could have done a top 10, but then like we'd be here until tomorrow.
We'd be here a long time.
Yeah. And we'd probably have an even worse spread. We probably would have a clearer top 5, though.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, but
it's all thanks to Sir Catface.
All thanks to Sir Catface. I have a. I'm gonna open it up here. Do you guys have any like that you like? Any games that like look, you know, like honorable mentions? Maybe, you know, without going into like long detailed explanations, but. For me, it's Celeste. I really wish that I would have voted before I played Celeste. I mean, after I played Celeste, because Celeste probably would have been on my top 5.
I feel like we should be allowed to nominate Celeste for next year. Kind of like how Chris.
Oh, that's right. We had forgotten Anne.
I feel like it, you know, kind of like how like Super Smash Brothers Ultimate was nominated for Game of the Year, even though it came out like in December last year. I think we could we should put Celeste up for the running for next year.
Yeah.
Just saying. Because none of us had played it yet, really.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I was like, man. But yeah, me and Jonathan really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot. I guess it was just us.
If I had any honorable mentions, I'd probably say like Event Zero. Mm-hmm. Just because it was interesting for the kind of, the retro text-based adventure mixed with modern day graphics.
Yeah.
And then also Year Walk was kind of an odd game to play as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The Fall 2 would have been nice, but I think there were kind of too many issues.
Yeah.
So
Fall 2 Yeah, the Fall 2 was good, but yeah, there were.
Was Papers, Please this year? Was that this year?
Those
no.
Okay, that was last year. Okay. I know in my top 10, everyone's gone to the Rapture. Everybody's gone to the Rapture.
Oh yeah, that one was the other one for me.
And mm-hmm. And Detroit Becomes Human.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely up there, but I cheated and put Dragon Age Origins as my number one.
I really enjoyed our chats with the Dragon Age games.
Yeah,
the chats were super good with those.
Yeah, there's a number of games that like I know would be in my top 10 if I have finished them. Mainly Wander Song.
Mm-hmm.
Which I had started playing when we were about to chat for it, and then I forget why, but like life got in the way. I never finished it, and I'm still, I think I'm on like the last level. I need to beat it.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I would probably also put the first 3 quarters of Stories Untold on my honorable mentions.
Oh yeah, I missed that one.
Was that this year?
Yeah, it was this year. It was in the summer when I was gone.
See, it's like I was going to, but
it wasn't, or it was.
It was.
The only thing that knocked it off for me was the kind of the overused, like, drunk driving type of trope. Oh, yeah. So.
Well, we all agreed that it would have been better if it was Alien.
Yeah.
Aliens, man. Yeah, another one for me would have been Lamplight City. So I'm glad that you got it on your list, Kevin.
Yeah.
Because it was...
Surprised not nobody else put it, but then again, there was
so many
song and this year.
Yeah. Be Dating for Ghosts and Dear Esther that Madeline had on her were really good ones, too.
Also, Donut County for me. Just because silly raccoons.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I played it on my Switch, and, you know, Switch makes it super easy to, like, take screenshots because it has a screenshot button on the controller. and I was, like, looking through my screenshots, and it's all saved on the SD card, and, like, literally a third of all the pictures on my SD card on my Switch are all of just Donut County Trashopedia entries.
Oh, yeah. The beginner's guide would probably also be on.
That was another good one. Mention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many good games this year. Again,
now if we pick the bottom five, that'd be always sometimes monster and.
I forgot about that one. I started that one, but I never finished it.
You're fine.
Based on your guys' reaction, I was like, okay.
Revolution 1970.
Yeah. Yeah, Revolution. 1979.
Yeah, Revolution. Yeah. That one, like, man. Like I wanted it to be better than it was.
Yeah.
It was a telltale attempt.
Yeah.
That was rough.
So do we have some announcements?
We do, yes. Thank you for the segue. Yes, so the votes are in, guys, for 2020. I tallied everything together. Oh, you'll be drum rolling for a bit. I tallied everything together, and I'll give you our, and we'll have a schedule up very soon. I know Chris was working on that. I worked on the dates for everything earlier today. So we have our schedule, and actually this time we have it for the entire year instead of stopping halfway like we've been doing the past few years and voting again. So as of right now, 2020 is completely scheduled out.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That was giving like the top five for each of the polls. I think maybe in the multi game where we had like 16, I took like the top like 7 or 8. And then also putting in our must plays and also putting in our, cause we have our Ace Attorney chats this year as well. That are going to be sprinkled throughout the year. So yes. So for the top, and I'll go by the polls here. So for the top, this is for 1 week or less games. We fit in the top 7 games actually with this one, just because they're the 1 weekers and 2 of them were together. Untitled Goose Game was number 1. That Dragon Cancer, Abzu, Grease, Journey, Can Androids Pray, and Rumu all made it for the 1 week. Or less games. Nice. For the multi-week games, we fit in again. Let's see, 1, 2. We had like a tie for like number 4. Like there were like 5 games that got the same amount of votes. but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Actually, 9 of those. We have Soma, After Party, Return of the Obra Dinn, Unavowed, Bindi and the Ink Machine, Valley, Epistory, Mutazione, and Arcade Spirits. all made it into the schedule for next year.
Nice.
For month chats, we have we fit in the top three because we ended up making Return of the Obra Dinn a month chat because of all the different branching things that can happen in that game. That was by Madeline's suggestion. And then we also had one of our must plays, the 999, I put as a month chat as well because of the length. But we got Control in there, Yakuza 0, and East Shade. And then also Plague, my must play, The Plague Tale Innocence was a month chat as well. So, yeah. So we got those three in there. And then plus, we also have a couple of surprise night chats that we will be revealing with the schedule. And then also, as I said, sprinkled throughout there are the Ace Attorney trilogy that we actually voted on like midway, like earlier this year. Or yeah, I think it was in the summer when we voted on like the fall and winter games for 2019. So throughout 2020, we'll be playing kind of like what we tried to do this year with Dragon Age, although our Inquisition chat's being pushed to like March or like end of February, hopefully now.
December 2020.
We're going to work really hard, guys, okay? I'm speaking to Frank and Jonathan here.
Did you know you could get a horse in that game?
Oh my god.
What do you do? Even though it's your first mission.
Throughout 2020, we actually have the Ace Attorney chat scheduled into the schedule. So, you know, we'll be playing game one, like I think sometime in April, game two, like in the summer or in August, and a game three in December of 2020.
Objection!
So there you go. A whole full year.
The other thing too, yes, and I think kind of one of the bigger announcements or milestones is that when we come back next year with our chats of Life is Strange 2, Life is Strange 2 is going to mark the 100th game that Game Chat has played.
Nice.
Yes.
So, and then sometime... And this is all kind of subject to some other game releases and everything. Sometime between the end of April and mid-May will be our 200th game chat.
Yep.
So.
Wow.
200th recording.
Yes.
Woo!
Well, we've missed a few recordings, but this will be our actual 200th game chat itself. So, I think we have maybe between 3 to 5-ish recordings that we missed due to either technical issues or me not being around to do it. So,
sure.
But I've counted those into the count itself, so.
Yep. So, yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Chris.
Yes.
So yeah, there you go, guys. Our top five for 2019, plus games that we'll be playing in 2020. And yes, also including, we're going to try to work it in, an April the 1st special game chat of Night Trap.
Woo!
Justin.
Woo!
Yeah.
Night Trap.
So we're going to try to work that in. It'll be on a Wednesday. I told Jonathan to clear his schedule because that's his baby. Wow. Theme song? Really? Okay.
Yes, of course there's a theme song.
All right. Well,
Justin, again, celebrate Night Trap like Clap Trap.
True.
This is, and I love how you had a Freudian slip earlier. You said Night Chat, and I'm like, that's totally what we're gonna call it. We're gonna be like,
oh yeah,
I'm gonna rewrite the theme song. We're gonna call it Night Chat, and I am hyped. This is game of the year, guys. Even though it came out in like what, like 1997, yeah. Game of the year. Non-stop action. It says it right on the cover.
So,
1.5 hours.
Back on track. So December the 24th and December the 31st, we will not be recording. We will not be having game chat. Enjoy your holidays. You know, go and do holiday stuff or just play some more video games. Whatever you want to do.
Episode one.
You're right, right. Like Life is Strange 2, episode one, because that is starting when we come back on January the 7th. So January the 7th, when we come back again, we'll be talking about episode one of Life is Strange 2, which is out on Steam, PS4, Xbox One. For those listening, a little synopsis is: after a tragic incident, brothers Sean and Daniel Diaz run away from home, fearing the police, and dealing with Daniel's new telekinetic power, the boys head to Mexico. Each stop on their journey brings new friends and new challenges. If you want more game chat, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcast under the Game Chat for our past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us on Twitter at @the_game_chat. And you can also follow us on Facebook under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question or a topic for our current game, and we might just read it on the show. You can email us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net. Or send us adorable pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. So come back next week where we're chatting about, oh, that's right, we're on vacation. Got on script there. So sorry. So come back in January on the 7th. We're chatting about Life is Strange 2, episode 1 on that day. So until next year, I'll chat to you guys later. Bye.
Bye. Bye.